Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Our next guest, Dane Brugler, has unleashed the beast.
He is the Athletic's NFL draft analyst. He just released The Beast.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic, the beast himself.
Release the Kraken.
With the 10th pick,
the Chicago Bears select.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Oh no, I really hope that the Bears do not select The Score Midday Show. My 40 time is terrible.
I don't know that I can. Oh, I definitely can't run a 40 right now. So there's that.
I could pretend to jump high and then edit the clip with somebody else.
My vert's only about 20 now.
Let's go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today and ask Dane Brugler if he were drafted somewhere. Dane, thank you for joining us. What would be your overwhelming combine trait that would get you into an NFL team's draft list?
I would have a hammy injury, so I wouldn't do any testing. But I would interview really well. I have a good idea of what the teams wanted to hear, be prepared. But yeah, that hammy is just, it's rough. So
unfortunate.
No 40 for me, no testing for me. That's all right. Maybe at the pro day. Yeah, we'll keep kicking that can.
The pro day is always where people shine. He is the man behind the beast, and you just released your entire 7-round mock draft, as I see. I know everybody asks, do you sleep? But you have to some. So in what time were you able to put this together and how long did it take?
Yeah, once I get the beast out, I treat myself by doing a 7-round mock draft. It's look, for me, it's really a helpful exercise because it's a good preparation for the actual draft. I'm going through, okay, these are the team needs for each team. I'm going over draft trends. Like this general manager usually likes to target this type of player in round two just understanding how to connect all those dots. And so getting a sense of the depth charts around the league, a better sense for the needs and how those have changed and how just certain teams like to draft. Doing an exercise like this, while very time intensive, it's really helpful for me. So on draft night, when we're live for every pick, going over every pick, I'm better suited, better prepared to understand why a certain team is thinking the way they do when they made their pick.
Okay, so it's interesting that you say that because you're obviously going off of the Chicago Bears draft history with Ryan Poles, which is one thing, but then you've got the influx of a new coaching staff with Ben Johnson as the play calling head coach on offense, and then also Dennis Allen and what he likes as far as a defensive coordinator. So walk me through how you got where you ended up, which is number 10, the Bears select tight end Tyler Warren out of Penn State.
Yeah, and I think I had to kind of be convinced of this pairing a little bit. But the more you think about it, I think it makes sense, especially when you bring in Ben Johnson and what Sam LaPorta meant for that Detroit offense when they drafted him. And he was kind of like the skeleton key that really unlocked a lot of that offense. And I think we look at Ben Johnson running a lot of 12 personnel, so getting two tight ends on the field at the same time. Cole Kmet still very much a part of this team, but you're adding another pass catcher that's really going to help your offense. And so someone that can line up in line, he can, you know, you don't have to flex him out. You can move him around the formation, get really creative with that. So, and it depends who's available for them at 10. One of those offensive linemen, will they be there at 10? Could Ashton Jeanty slip to 10? In this mock draft that I did, Jeanty was off the board, Will Campbell off the board, Armon Membu off the board. And so, sure, I mean, they could absolutely look at defense, a guy like, you know, Derek Harmon, defensive tackle out of Oregon, one of the pass rushers that might be someone that they really like, Mikel Williams, Shamar Stewart, you know, whichever defensive end they like. You could argue that might be a direction they could go as well. But Tyler Warren, I think, makes a lot of sense in terms of just the fit and also someone being worth that pick in this draft.
I'm glad you brought up the concept of this GM likes to go with this, especially in these rounds, because after Shamar Stewart's combine, I thought to myself, that relative athletic score is something that would totally intrigue Ryan Poles. I could see him falling in love with that, especially after the performance he had. Even though Stewart's sack numbers were not good at A&M, he's that type of guy that a team could develop, knowing that he was underdeveloped in college. And I could completely see Ryan Poles going for him. You have him as the 11th pick overall to the 49ers.
Yeah, and there's a lot of differing opinions on Shamar Stewart, and understandably so, because like you said, he is a physical freak. For a guy that's 270 pounds, 6'5", has that type of length, to go out and run a 4.5, to jump 40 inches in the vert. I mean, just ridiculous numbers. And it's like, okay, that's great, but why did he only have 1.5 sacks last year? And there's more context that's needed. Part of it is the way he was used, the way he was lined up. He wasn't asked to just pin his ears back and go on a consistent basis. But then also, like, he led the team in pressures. So he was affecting the pocket. He was making the quarterback move his feet. He just needs to be a better finisher. And once he gets to the backfield, and this is a young player, true junior still, and he didn't really start playing football seriously until he got to high school. So he's still figuring things out, but there's a leap of faith involved when you're talking about a player that's this freaky of an athlete, but the football production maybe doesn't match up. But at the end of the day, the scouting motto for NFL teams, traits over production. They're not going to draft you for what you've done. They want to draft you for what you're going to do. And that's why I think several teams are really intrigued with Shamar Stewart. 10, the Bears, 11, the 49ers, the Falcons at 15. A lot of teams are looking at Stewart as, hey, we might be able to get a guy that's just ascending and scratching the surface of what he can be.
We focus so much on quarterbacks because it is the most important position in the game of football. And it's interesting that you have Cam Ward going number one overall, but then the next quarterback isn't taken in your mock until 21. The Pittsburgh Steelers taking Shedeur Sanders, and then a couple more quarterbacks in the early 30s, and Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe. I'm just curious as to how you put together this QB piece of the puzzle, especially given that so many teams do need either a quarterback or a quarterback of the future.
Right, and last year we had six drafted in the top 12, and so it was very top-heavy. This year, I think teams are looking at the top 10 and saying, especially like the Browns and the Giants, they're looking at it and say, well, do we love one of these quarterbacks? Maybe not. Maybe we like them, but maybe we don't love them. So let's go with the blue-chip non-quarterback here. For the Browns, I think Travis Hunter is the best player in the draft, in my opinion. Makes all the sense in the world. That's the way they should go at two. And then with the Giants, you know, they're doing so much extra homework on these quarterbacks. And so it wouldn't be a surprise if they went that direction at three. But I'd be surprised, just because you have Abdul Carter sitting right there for you. And this is a draft where there's five quarterbacks that we expect to go in the top 40 picks. The Giants could easily trade up from that early second round into the first round to get one. They could stay put at 34, and one could fall to them there. And so I think it just depends on how much do they really love one of these players, one of these quarterbacks. And I would not be surprised if we get to draft night and quarterbacks don't go two or three, and then, okay, the Raiders pass, the Jets pass. The Saints at nine are an intriguing spot with Derek Carr, his 2025 season in doubt with an injury. I think the Saints pass on a quarterback at nine. And, you know, if you're the Bears, that's obviously, I mean, you want to see these quarterbacks go. You have your guy. You want other good players pushed down to you. But I right now, we're a little over a week out. A lot can change. But right now, I'd still be surprised if we saw more than one quarterback go in that top 10.
Yeah, it's just as compelling, Dane, to see your round two in your mock draft as it is the round one. This is Dane Brugler, the man behind the beast, kind enough to join us from The Athletic. You have the Browns taking Jackson Dart, who a lot of people think is going to go in that first round, quarterback-wise. And then the Bears appropriately taking a running back at 39. You think it's going to be Travion Henderson from Ohio State. What was your reasoning for the Bears to go take a back in the second round as opposed to maybe the first? Ashton Gentry's on the mind of a lot of people here. But I think this is just a good idea for the Bears if he's available there.
If Ashton Gentry makes it to 10, I think that's the pick. I think that's they would be thrilled to get Ashton Gentry there. But can he get past 5 and 6, the Jags and the Raiders? That's kind of where I see him going, somewhere in that mix. But yeah, with the Bears, this is a draft where running back's going to stretch. You don't have to take that guy early and feel like that's the value. You can wait to the second round, especially with those two second round picks, whether that's Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, whichever running back they really like. But Henderson, I think, makes a lot of sense for when you think about what Jahmyr Gibbs was to that Ben Johnson offense in Detroit. Henderson's not Gibbs. I don't want to, you know, kind of paint him as he's that level of player. But stylistically, you can see some of that with the speed, where if you get him in the open field, good luck trying to catch him, because he has the way he accelerates, the way in the open field that he can go and make guys miss and create those explosives, create those big plays. Travion Henderson is a home run waiting to happen. Now, when things get a little bit muddy up front, he, you know, the tempo, the vision is a little bit up and down. But if you lead him to water, he will drink. He will make the defense pay. So Henderson, I think, would make sense for them once we get to the second round. But this is a running back rich draft. They could focus on defensive line in the second round, wait till third, fourth, fifth, and still feel like they're getting a quality running back.
So you're saying they could get a cohabitating starting running back or a 1A even in the fifth round?
In this draft, yes, because I gave draftable grades to 30 running backs. 30 running backs aren't getting drafted. There's not going to be 30 teams that are going to draft a running back this year. So, you know, there's only so many teams that will draft one in the top 100. So there are going to be good players that are going to be pushed into that fourth round, into day three. So, you know, a guy like RJ Harvey from UCF, who one of a top 10 back in this class, might get pushed to the fourth round. You know, a guy like Jarquez Hunter from Auburn, Cam Scataboo from Arizona State. There are a lot of really good running backs and just not enough spots in the top 100 for them to go. So if the Bears do end up waiting until day three, I think they'll have more than a few options that they'll feel good about at that point in the draft.
Dane, you also have Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU, who we all love, going fourth overall to the Patriots. There's a lot of thought that maybe Ashton Gentry goes to the Patriots. What was your thought by the need for maybe what the Patriots have at the fourth overall pick?
Yeah, I was doing New England radio this morning talking about the possibility of Gentry at four, and you know they're definitely split on something like that. They don't see running back as a need, but when you're drafting top five, you draft players, not positions. You know, you go for the impact guy. Who's going to impact your roster the most? And Ashton Gentry, you think about dropping him into that offense. You want to help your quarterback with the left tackle. I get it. You know what would help your quarterback? A dynamic running back who can catch a ball out of the backfield, can make guys miss. Contact balance is unreal. So Ashton Gentry should be considered at four. Now, I did go Will Campbell there for them. Just think it's more of a, you know, hit one on the fairway. Let's get the really good offensive lineman. We think he can play left tackle. If, you know, if the length has obviously been a conversation point with him. If he proves that he can't play left tackle, we still feel like we're getting a really good guard. Regardless, he's going to upgrade our offensive line. And the Patriots do need that in a big way. But I did have Ashton Gentry going to the very next pick to the Jaguars. You know, I think ETN's in a contract year. New head coach, new general manager. They're not tied to those running backs. You want to help Trevor Lawrence. Ashton Gentry's going to go pretty quickly in this draft.
That is the voice of Dane Brugler, the NFL draft analyst for The Athletic and the creator of the annual draft guide, The Beast, which we are trying to sort our way through here on Middays at The Score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harrison. Dane, going back to the top of this draft, where you have the Browns with the number 2 overall pick taking Travis Hunter, and you have him ranked as the number one cornerback. I'm curious as to where you have him as a receiver, though, because a lot of people feel like he's going to have a better career as a receiver when all is said and done.
He'd be the number one receiver in this draft, no doubt about it. And yeah, there's definitely debate about where he should play. Like, I think if his upside to me is higher at corner. If he plays corner, he could be a top three corner in the NFL, you know, by the time we get to the end of his rookie contract. He is that good. At receiver, I think still think he's very good. He could be a top 10 receiver in the NFL. And so for some teams, they would much rather have the offensive impact that he brings. And I think you look at the Browns especially, they need offense in the worst way. And if they don't believe in a quarterback at two, Travis Hunter, to me, I think they probably draft him as a primarily offensive weapon because that's just what they need. They need that life on offense no matter who's throwing the football. So teams are split. Some teams see him as a corner. Some see him on offense. I think theoretically it's easier to see him on defense primarily, and then you mix in 25 plays a game for him on offense where he can get 8 to 10 touches. He's still very much impacting your offensive game plan, but still being a full-time defensive player. To me, that makes the most sense. But I certainly understand a team like the Browns or another team that wants to play him primarily on offense and really focus on that. But like he said, he wants to play both, and the tape says he can do it. Just talking to teams and the interviews, they think that he has what it takes to do both, because it's not just athletically and, you know, the fatigue and all that. It's the mental commitment to know both sides of the ball, the playbook and all of that, what it takes during the week. So if anybody can do it, it's Travis Hunter. And that's why if I'm the Browns at two, I'm not passing on him. He's the best player in the draft.
We are talking to Dane Brugler, as we mentioned, the man behind the beast. And I'm used to a massive PDF. People have talked about printing out the beast, and I think it's like $200 later by the time they get it done. I don't even want to know how many trees. The layout is completely different this year. The page design is really cool. We were talking about the user interface of the beast earlier. I know the quarterback tiers that Mike Sando does, that also got a bit of a makeover. Mm-hmm. So what could you tell us about just how to use and utilize the beast the best way ahead of the draft?
Yeah, I'm really proud of all the resources we put behind it. We've got a great team that's, you know, I'm a meat and potatoes guy. I do the work, the scouting, all that. And we have smarter people doing, making it look pretty and really easy to navigate. And that's the biggest thing. Easy to navigate. So when you want to know what a player, something about a player, search bar, type in the player's name, boom, everything's right there. If you want to look by position, there's a scroll down menu for that. But if you also want the PDF, you can do that as well. There is a download link for the PDF. Some people really prefer that version as well. And that's something I fought for, just to make sure we're satisfying all the customers. But I wanted to really upgrade this so it's mobile friendly. It's easy on your tablet, your computer, whatever. Very proud of the end product. And, you know, just excited where we can take this. Sky's the limit.
Well, I think somebody's going to end up printing out the beast. It's going to happen. We need to find out what the printing cost was. But, Dane, we always appreciate it. Anything else that you have, like, observation-wise, just putting it together this year that you want to share with everybody?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a year where I'll be interested to see how many non-combine players get drafted. That's always something I'm focused on, to see how many, you know, 330 guys get drafted or go to the combine, and how many of those guys that weren't invited end up getting drafted. So I'm interested to find that out. And then, you know, just the quarterbacks. It feels like an exercise in musical chairs where one quarterback's going to go early, and then it's kind of like, wait, what do the Steelers do? What do the Browns do? What do the Giants do? What do the Saints do? And what's the order they come off the board? Shedeur Sanders, I think, is the favorite to be the second quarterback drafted, but that's not set in stone. He could be the third quarterback drafted. It just depends on, because every team looks at these quarterbacks differently. Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, a lot of love for Shuck. And then Jalen Milroe, he will be at the draft in Green Bay. And so what does that mean for where he'll be drafted? So the quarterback musical chairs is going to make for some really good TV next week.
We love it. Dane Brugler, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. You have a masterpiece yet again.
Thanks, Dane.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it.
That was Dane Brugler, the man behind the beast. Of course, you could access that via The Athletic. And we have a beast announcement we would like to make, or at least beast related. We've had questions for the last several weeks. Are we going to do Who's Your Guy? The answer is yes.
My first time.
It is. And now it's going to be easier for you. You don't have to do the awkward vamp, you know, the wait and fill time and talk while you dial up the PDF and search on the page. This is a much quicker process for us.
I'll take your word for it.
There is no panic like knowing that you haven't quite found the page that you need for your player on the PDF on the Beast.
This sounds like it's going to be a task, though. But I'm ready. I'm up to the challenge.
We had a lot of drops that we acquired over the last year. And it would be a crime against humanity to not combine them with football in some fun way.